Hey, everybody. This is Pastor Travis from AOL Church, and I want to thank you for joining us on our podcast. I pray this inspires you, encourages you, and leads you to your next step to connect with God. Enjoy the message.
Hey, I'm switching gears here. I've been preaching on Revelation. How many of y'all learned something from the book of Revelation? That God has given you revelation. He's pulled the curtain away, and there's something that God has shown you on the other side. But so I'm moving into a different gear here during the Christmas season, and I'm going to be preaching on the greatest gift. And but you can relax, I'm coming back because I've already read Revelation 5, and I can't wait to share it with you. And so I'll be back there soon. I promise you that. But we think that during the Christmas holiday, it's very important that we see that Jesus is the greatest gift. How many of y'all know he is the greatest gift? Santa today, he would have told you this, that Jesus is the greatest gift. As I was thinking about the greatest gift, I was reminded of this song in children's church growing up. There was a song that we used to sing during this time of the year, and the gift goes on. The Father gave the Son, and the gift goes on. The Son gave the Spirit, and the gift goes on. The Spirit gives us life, and it goes on and on and on. How many of y'all know that Jesus truly is the gift that keeps on giving? As I read his word, I've studied it most of my life, but even me, now this year, it's amazing the revelation that God has given me, and it's been there all along, but it's life after life after life after life after life. And thinking about the greatest gift, when I was a senior in high school, I went to a Christian school, and my Bible teacher had an assignment for us that you had to write during the Christmas holiday, the greatest gift. And she was thinking about something that has happened in your life of what is the greatest gift to you that's ever been given to you during the holiday season. And I know the holidays can be good for some and bad for others. Some of you have had some experiences during that time. Some of you don't even put up a tree because of the pain and the heartache that it brings you. But I want to remind you that it ain't about the presents. It ain't about old fat Saint Nick. It truly is about Jesus. I want to remind some parents out there that are in full-blown anxiety about what they're supposed to get their kids. Give your kids Jesus. Amen? Amen. The one person that needs to be in here right now is not in here, but whatever. Just kidding. I hope she's not hearing that. Watch the bullets. But when I was a senior in high school, we had this assignment to write about the greatest gift. And lots of you have heard the testimony in my family in 1988, coming back from my grandmother's house. We were in a terrible car accident and lost my sister that was older than me. She died. She was 8 years old. This happened in 1988. And I remember that time and that season, it was very hard. In fact, I can remember times of just coming home, just me and my dad being on the front porch. We lived on Monroe Street, right by Amarillo College. And I remember those times, very tough season. We'd come in, we could hear my mother. She'd be curled up inside of my sister's room. She didn't want to do anything with the room. It stayed the same, and she would just be up there just weeping and wailing. I mean, it was just very traumatic. How many of y'all know what I'm talking about of losing a child or losing a sibling or a sister? It's a very, very hard time. Well, in 1990, she was in a service, and Jesse Duplantis came. This is kind of when he first started his ministry, and he had a word for my mother. And I remember it. I mean, I was just a little kid. I remember sitting on the second row, and as he's walking along here, he had a word of knowledge for my mom. And he pointed to her and said, "You're a bulldog. There's something on the inside of you. You're holding on to something." And what she was holding on to, because after she had me, she thought, "There ain't no way I'm having another one of them." She got her tubes tied. How many of y'all know? Amen. You can say amen if you want to. But she had her tubes tied. Come on, somebody. She had her tubes tied. And so after the death of my sister, she wanted more children. As a mother, she longed to have more children. Well, because of her tubes being tied, and at that time, there wasn't the technology that we have now. If you can have a reversal, well, I may be butchering this story up completely. But she began to believe God, that God would give her a child. And in 1990, an OBGYN doctor reached out to my mother and said, I've heard your story, what you're going through. We can now do a reversal on your tubes, and I'd like to do it for you, and I'd like to do it for free. And so he did it, and she began to believe God for that child. She got pregnant, had a miscarriage, got pregnant, had another miscarriage. And it was about this time that Jesse Duplantis looked at my mother and said, you're a bulldog, you're holding on to something, and you're not letting go till you get it. God told me that you have it, and it's on its way. It was December 12th, 1991. I remember, just during that time, those of you that have experienced those seasons, how hard it is and how difficult it is. But I remember my parents believing God and holding on that a baby was coming. December 12th, 1991, my brother Austin Ray Bennett, redheaded. I remember it was snowing. I stayed at some friend's house. Actually, I stayed at your house. I stayed at the Whitaker's house that night. And I remember when Austin Bennett was born. And that senior year, as I began to write about that, I was reminded that when that little boy came, how much joy he brought to my family. A family that was hurt, a family that was going through some struggling times, still believing God, still knowing that his word was true, but still there was a void on the inside of everyone. But that little boy came. And as I was thinking about that, that's exactly when Jesus came to this earth, that was the greatest gift that could have ever came. He came to a world. In fact, there was people that were after him right away. There was a census that the baby would be taken. He came in such a hostile environment. In fact, if you didn't listen last week, he is the man for you and me. He is the Son of Man. But the gift that he came and he came to bring was to bring joy to the world. And I'm here to tell you, even during that time of such pain and such agony when Jesus came into the earth, I'm telling you today, he's still the greatest gift, that he's still bringing joy to the world. In the middle of a pandemic, in the middle of craziness in the Congress, craziness in the Senate, craziness in the House, craziness in America, I'm still here to tell you that Jesus still brings joy to the world. Can I get an amen, somebody? He still comes to bring joy. In fact, we see at the end of the book, we see this in Revelations, that if you get revelation of Jesus and what he's come to do, that he is the winner, I'm telling you, there is great joy that'll come over your life. Let me reread to you Luke chapter 2 and verse 10. It says, then the angel said to him, don't be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. But pastor, you don't understand what I've gone through. You don't understand what my family has gone through. You don't understand my position at work. You don't understand my position with my in-laws, any of those things. I'm here to tell you, when he came to bring joy, no matter your circumstance, no matter what failure you've gone through, no matter what you've been through, God wants to give you joy. He wants to give you joy. What is joy? I'll tell you what joy is. Joy is the only response to God's presence and activity in your life. I'm telling you, this morning as we got in the presence of God and as we begin to sing, I did not feel sorrowful. I did not feel weak. I feel 10 foot tall and bulletproof, ready to charge hell with a squirt gun when I get in the presence of God. I'm telling you, there's a joy that should come over you. It's the only response to God's presence and activity in your life. And if you've been here over the last 14 weeks, this will be a little bit different this morning. But this is kind of a lane that I've preached in for a long time. I want to give you three thoughts and three choices as we talk about joy in 2020. Can we have joy in 2020? Yeah. Can I tell you what? You know what? Walmart needs joy right now. Dollar General needs joy right now. The State Department needs a little bit of joy in there. I was in the annex building on Friday. They need some joy up in there. Amen? Yes. This city needs joy. And you know how God wants to give this city joy? God wants to give this city joy through you. Because there is a gift in you, and his name is Jesus, and he brings joy to all people. Number one, here's the first thought that I want to break down to you is this. Enjoying life is one of the greatest gifts God gives. Enjoying life. See, when I read the Bible from cover to cover like I do every year, and at the beginning of the year, I'll give you the opportunity to read it along with us from cover to cover. But as I read from Genesis all the way to the book of Revelation, I see this. I discover he put a plan together, not so you can endure life, but so that you can enjoy life. Yeah. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. Pastor, you don't know what I've been through. You don't know what I've been through. But God has given me revelation from cover to cover that he has a plan for our life, that he doesn't want us to just endure life. He wants us to enjoy life. And enjoy every season. How many of y'all have had them seasons before? Just lift your hand. You know that season I'm talking about. Not just during the Christmas season should you have joy. There's some of you that don't have joy. No need to point any fingers. During the Christmas holiday, bah humbug, Scrooge. I know where you are, Grinch. Will we have difficult times in life? Yes. Yes, we will. But I'm here to tell you that if you grab a hold of something this morning, I believe that you can have joy in any circumstance in life. I truly believe this with all my heart. There's people in prison today that can enjoy life. There's people in prison that are guilty. There's people in prison right now that are falsely accused. But you know what? I'll be honest with you. The best time that I've ever led worship before at any place over camping or anything else was right out here at the Clements unit. You know why? Because they were free. They may have been bound by chains, but there was something that was free on the inside of them. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And when you grab a hold of him, there's a joy that comes over you. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. I truly believe this. I've been in hospital rooms before where somebody has something minor and you can tell that they don't enjoy life. And I've been in a hospital room before where they are about to die because of cancer eating up their body. And they enjoy life every single minute of the day. Joy's a choice. And I'm here to tell you this morning that God, one of the greatest gifts that God gives us, enjoying life is one of the greatest gifts that God gives. I want to give you some scriptures, and I didn't even know where to begin last night as I began to write these down. There's so many, but in Psalm 16:11 is one of my favorites, and those of you that have prayed with us in the mornings on Facebook, I pray this all the time. I pray that his kingdom come, his will be done. I pray every morning that there be peace, that there be joy. I have peace and joy in my life, not because it just happens, but because I pursue it and I pray for it. But it says this in Psalm 16:11, you will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. You need to get that in your spirit. You know, there's been several times Pastor Robert, he's taught on a Wednesday night. These are ones that you need to memorize. And I've memorized those. I want to tell you, as the body of Christ, there's some that you need to memorize. I've said this before. I promise you I can turn on Brooks and Dunn right now from 1989 and you'd know every single word. Waylon Jennings, whatever it is, you would know every single word. If you can remember Waylon Jennings from the bar nights, you can remember the word of God for being in the house of God. Amen. Amen. Psalm 16:11. You will show me the path of life in your presence of fullness of joy. How many of y'all know when you have purpose and you know the path of what God has in store for you, there is something about it that it brings you joy. And as you read the word, from start to back, as we teach our kids, you need to be developed. Even, I tell my children this, even if this was to be false, which I know it's not, there's life in this, but let's say that all of this was not right, I'd still live by the principles and teachings that come from this book. Even if it was fictional, which we know that it's not, but even if it was fictional, I'd still live by this. And what is it about this? This gives you plans. This gives you purposes. This gives you pursuits in life. He said, you will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. How many of y'all know there's times in my life when I'm hurt? There's times in my life where I'm lost? There's times in my life that I don't know the answer. And I tell myself this, if I can just get in the presence of God. You know what I do? It does. It reminds me of how big he truly is. Like I said this morning, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He's the God of Jonah inside the belly of the whale. He's the same God that was with David as he defeated the giant. He's the same God that was with Joshua. He's the same God that was with Joseph. And he's the same God that will be with Mike Odom today in 2020. Come on, somebody. But you got to get in the presence of God. in his presence is fullness of joy. I got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Where? There you go. All right. Y'all sing terrible. Whatever. Nehemiah 8:10. Come on, you need to have this one in your repertoire. Put it in your arrow bag. It says, then he said to them, go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet. I'm doing that today. Hallelujah. And send portions to those for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy to our God. Do not sorrow, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. You know where you get strength? Joy in the Lord. You know why the enemy is so after your joy? Is because it gives you strength. The enemy knows this. If he can steal your joy, the enemy knows this. If I can just get him offended again at something that don't mean a hill of beans, if I can get him mad and upset, I'm going to steal his joy and it's going to take away his strength. Can I talk to the dads and talk to the moms this morning? Can I talk to the Americans? Come on. The joy of the Lord is your strength. There is strength that comes from being in the presence of God. The strength that comes from having joy over your life. Here's another one. Zephaniah 3:17. The Lord your God is in your midst. The mighty one will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. Come on, I'm here to tell you, there's neighbors that are not rejoicing over you. Can I get an amen out there? There is hecklers and there are some haters out there. There are some people that are in your kid's fourth grade class that don't like your kid because your kid's better than their kid, but whatever. But how many of y'all believe that no matter what's going on in my life, I can always come back to God, I can repent, I can always come back to him, and he rejoices over me. Come on, you ought to be happy this morning. Your grandpappy's pappy's pappy may have not still forgive you of something that you did a long time ago. You know those people that are still holding on to things that happened in 1991? There's people that are still holding on to the Louisiana Purchase. Hey, people in Louisiana need to be a part of America too. Come on, somebody. But I'm here to tell you that God rejoices over you. God rejoices over you. God rejoices over me. I love that. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. John 16:33. When this all happened, started in March, I was in Florida with Pastor Ty. And we were joyful because we were in Florida. But Pastor told me this. He said, these things, he read me this scripture. These things I have spoken to you that in me you may have peace. In the world, you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. I'm going to say it one more time. Some of you, it fell on deaf ears. This ought to bring you some excitement. In the midst of a plandemic. Did I say plandemic? Yeah, plandemic. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Come on, how many of y'all know he's overcome the world? This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. You know, on Christmas morning, your kids, or Christmas Eve, or the eve of Christmas Eve, you know, some of you, y'all have all different deals of how you do something, or the eve of Christmas Eve, that your kids finally talk you into opening presents. What they will do is get that present. They receive that present. They open that present. They unpack that present. And they begin to walk in that present. As I just told you a while ago, enjoying life is one of the greatest gifts that God gives. I want to tell you, enjoying life is something that you need to receive. You need to open, and you need to walk in. Now, I know this is just words, and I know it's even harder than that. I'm going to give you some practical things that you can grab a hold of and begin to do in your life. That will be easier for you. But believe this today, God gave you joy, so enjoy it. God gave you joy, so enjoy it. He came to the world. He brought joy. He is joy to all people. Everybody say all. Number two is this, joy is not based on the outward, but on the inward. How many of y'all know this is so true? We try to base joy on how good life is going. When it's great, we're full of joy. When it's bad, not so much joy. Biblical joy is not based on what's happening on the outside. Why? Everything changes. Monday, it was beautiful. Now look outside. The turtles sang about it. Solomon wrote about it in Ecclesiastes chapter 3. For everything, there is going to be change. And there's many of you, as I look at your Facebook, you start the day off on the third floor of your house and you end up with Sleepy Joe in the basement by 9 a.m. Can I tell you, circumstances are going to change. But you know who doesn't change? The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. If God be for you, then who in the world can be against you? Come on, greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Who am I talking to this morning? Who are you connected to? He doesn't change. And one of the greatest examples through the Word of God that we can look at is the Apostle Paul. I think of him so many times as he's standing before the King of Agrippa, and he's standing there and he says, "Do you have anything to say?" And he begins to tell the testimony of what God had done in his life. But we read in 1 Corinthians, he'd been snake bit, he'd been shipped to shore. He had been in a shipwreck. He had had his hair pulled out. He had been stoned. He had been in prison twice. I mean, if it was a country song for anybody wrote, it's for the Apostle Paul. And what did he say that he's known for? Count it all joy. And we read in Philippians, the book of Philippians. I looked it up last night. Actually, I counted it. There's four chapters and there's 107 verses. And 17 times he says in 107 verses, joy or enjoy life. And he wrote that from a prison cell. How many of y'all know joy is not based on the outward, but it's based on the inward? You know, that's why it's so important that we see and we grab a hold of that it's the things that we feed on the inside that's more important, because the things on the inside will come out in the outward. Here's the third thing, the third thought that I want to share with you. Joy is a choice. Listen to me. Hear me out. It's not something that you look for, but it is a byproduct of the choices that you make. Married men, where are you at? You know that thing that you say to your wife that you think that if I say this, I know it's going to be bad? You say, "Well, I didn't mean to say it." No, that is a lie from the pit of hell, because you know everything that comes out of your mouth. As I'm talking to you right now, I know the words that are coming out of my mouth. But you know that thing that you're about to say to your wife? That you think, if I say this, it's going to be a cold, dark winter. You know what I'm talking about? Can I get an amen, guys? Amen. All right. You know, it don't matter what she says, but it does matter what you say. And you, I'm telling you, joy is a byproduct of the choice of the words that come out to your wife, men. Financially, you're going to have joy based on decisions and choices that you make, either foolish or wise decisions through your bank account. Needs and wants. I don't have time to get on that, but how many of y'all have ever experienced sorrow in your life because of a dumb financial decision or choice? Right. Absolutely. Being obedient. I'm going to tell you right now, sin in your life will rob you of joy. I remember as a kid telling a little white lie to your parents. It really wasn't a lie, but it was kind of a lie. You know what I'm, you guys know what I'm talking about? Or maybe it's something that you've said to the boss, or maybe you've said to something, you've said to someone recently, and if they find out, but what do? It's heavy until your sin finds you out. I'm telling you, choices in your life will rob you of joy you walk and enjoy. Am I making some sense to you this morning? It will rob you of joy. So I want to give you three choices that you can make. These are very practical things. Number one, choose good habits. I know you're like, duh. Well, then do it. Okay? We choose our habits and our habits build us. It takes the same amount of time to build a bad one as it does a good one. Well, duh, Sherlock. Well, I'm just telling you, reminding you. Choose a good one. Who you are today is a result of yesterday's choices, but who you are tomorrow is a result of your choices today. I know you guys know this. I'm going to say it again. Then do it. Then do it. The best time to plant a tree, 30 years ago, 40 years ago. The other best time to plant a tree is today. Maybe not today, but you know what I'm saying. Come on, plant the tree. Paint the fence. Come on, choose good habits. Choose good habits. Number two is this. Here's another choice. Choose to be content. Now, Pastor, you told us not to be content. Now hear me out. Choose to be content because it's not a feeling. It doesn't mean this, all right? It doesn't mean I've settled, I'm not growing, and I'm not believing for more. What I am saying, choose to be content, means this: satisfaction and happiness in the midst of believing God for change and more. I'm happy where I am on the way to where I am going. That's what I'm talking about. That's a powerful concept. I'm happy where I am on the way to where I'm going. I base decisions on what I'm going to get my children if they're happy with the things that they have right now. If they're not, I ain't giving them more. Throw stones if you want to. Philippians 4:11 says this. Oh, this is a great passage of text. We all know Philippians 4:13. Our favorite athlete quotes it. But look at verse 11 through 13. I'm going to read it in New King James, and I'm going to read in the Passion Translation. Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state that I am to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to be abound. Everywhere and in all things, I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now listen to the Passion Translation. I'm not telling you this because I'm in need, for I have learned. That's something that we all need to learn. How many of y'all know this is something we need to learn? I have learned to be satisfied in any circumstance. I know what it means to lack, and I know what it means to experience overwhelming abundance. For I'm trained in the secret of overcoming all things, whether in fullness or in hunger. And I find that the strength of Christ's explosive power infuses me to conquer every difficulty. Let me say that again. And I find that the strength of Christ's explosive power infuses me to conquer every difficulty. Isn't that good? That's so good. Contentment will teach you how to manage when life is pretty lean. How many of y'all have had them lean moments before? You know what I'm talking about, those lean moments. You know those times when you're like picking change out of the ashtray. You know a person ain't lean at the gas pump when he clicks it in. You know those moments you click it in? That ain't a lean moment. But when you go up to the cash register and say, hey, put $3 in there, that's a lean moment. Have you ever been through some lean seasons? I know I have. But I love this text here. It says, I have learned to be satisfied in any circumstance. And it ends with, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So last night as I was studying, I got revelation of this. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It's connected to the secret of contentment. Look at that. Grab a hold of that. What's the secret? It's being happy in problems. Still being happy and being content. Can I tell you this? Nobody has a perfect life. Even Dr. Phil don't have a perfect life. I'll promise you that. Kanye West, he obviously don't have a perfect life. If I've learned anything in life, I've seen this, that the common person wants to be a celebrity, but the celebrity wants to be a common person. I've also learned this, that the employee wants to be the boss, but the boss comes to a place in his being a boss that he doesn't want the responsibilities that the boss has, and he wants to be the employee. Come on, the single lady, she wants to be married. But the married lady, who am I talking to right now? Hey, y'all were quiet in here. There's times when the married one is like, man, it was a whole lot simpler without kids and this crazy husband. Husbands, what you need to do, one of the things I did for Pastor Brandy during the pandemic, I gave her a hotel all to herself. She said, I want a hotel. I don't want you there. I don't want kids there. I just want a bubble bath. Who am I talking to, ladies? Where you at? Hey, come on. Husbands, I may have gotten in trouble, but my point is this. Isn't this true? There's always going to be push come to shove. But you know what you need to learn to connect to? You need to learn to connect with the unchanging power nature of God. There is strength that comes from joy. There is strength that comes from joy. I'm here to tell you, Sleepy Joe might have told you that it's coming a dark winter. You know what? The joy on the inside of me tells me this, that I believe that 2021, we're going to have a bright winter. I'm going to say that one more time. We're not going into a dark winter. We're going into a bright winter. Who's with me this morning? Who's with me? We need to learn. We need to learn this. We need to choose in our life to be content. You know, in 2020, they didn't have a handbook for pastors going through a pandemic. I mean, when all of this started in March, when all of it started, I mean, I had phone calls. If you continue to have church, I'm leaving the church. If you don't have church, I'm leaving the church. Had all of this pressure up against us. They were telling us all these things. That all, obviously, a lot of it was complete lies. How many of y'all know? If you're believing Fox News right now, they are lying to you. Just going to be honest with you. They're lying to you. And so through all of that, you know, one of the things that Pastor Brandy and myself, we sat our kids down and said, we said this from the very beginning. We know that this is going on. We know we've heard and we've seen this, but we are going to make the choice right now that the joy of the Lord is our strength. We're going to make the choice right now that we are not going to live in fear. We are going to live in faith. We are not going to be concerned by a virus, because greater is he that's in us than he that is in the world. We still believe the word of God. We believe that he is the healer. We still believe the blood of Jesus. And some of you need to still believe that the blood works and it's still alive today. We need to grab a hold of that. But I remember through all of that, it was so easy. And we went through June and there was lots of people inside the church that got COVID. And there was seasons there that it was super hard. Then we went through the season of the racial division of what's going on, of what was going on in America. And then it seemed like it kind of balanced out a while, and then it was craziness. And there was always something, kids going back to school. And then, how many of y'all know that it's been a teeter-totter year all year long? It's been insane. It's been crazy. But one thing that I've learned is this, and these are some practical things that I want to encourage you and give you this morning. In a hard season, I tell myself this: I won't let this season impact my self-esteem. I won't let this season impact my self-esteem. And there was hard nights. There was nights this year that it was completely heavy. Completely heavy. But how many of y'all know that's just a season? And I tell myself this: I will not let this season impact my self-esteem. I refuse to feel inadequate based on material needs. My net worth is not an indication of my self-esteem. Somebody needs to hear this. I'm not the car I drive, the house I live in, or the clothes that I wear. I won't let this season impact my self-esteem. Here's the second thing. I'm not going to let this small season impact my attitude. There's some people in this room right here, one little thing can go wrong. And I'm telling you, it's written all over your face, all over your actions, all over all of you. Can I talk to the moms and the dads? You are training your kids to be drama queens. There you go. Drama queens. I get calls. Pastor, this happened. You know what I don't do? Oh, my God, with them. I don't do it. Can I tell you, moms and dad, I could pinpoint the families of every kid of what kind of home they came from in youth. The ones that were dramatic, the ones who were upset, the ones who were mad all the time, they were mad for a reason, because their mom and dad were upset and mad all the time. One thing I've learned, that in a hard time and in a hard season, I'm not going to let this small season impact my attitude. I refuse to be discouraged. I refuse to be a victim and not a victor. What I don't have doesn't determine where I'm going. I'll say it again. What I don't have doesn't determine where I'm going. Here's another thing you need to grab a hold of. I will not let this season impact my vision. I may be clouded by clouds. The snow may be coming down. It may be hard to see where I'm going. But He will show me the path of life. In His presence is fullness of joy. I'm going to keep going the course of what God has in store for me. And I won't let this hard season impact my values. You need to hear this. I know this isn't, wow, that's huge revelation. No, it is great revelation. I will not let this impact my values, because you will, I'm bold to tell you this, you will be tempted in a hard season to take shortcuts and do the wrong thing. There's some people that during 2020, they hadn't drank in years. They were set free, but because of them locked up in their home in a hard season, they got back on the bottle. So what you need to do during a hard season is this. I will not let this season impact my self-esteem. I will not let this hard season impact my attitude. I will not let this hard season impact my vision. And I will not let this hard season impact my values. I am standing on the Word of God. It's the final decision. I will be in the house of God. I am going to do what God has called me to do. There ain't no pandemic. There ain't no China virus. There ain't no person. There ain't no Congress that's going to get in the way of what God has in store for my life. I'm holding on to it. Because can I tell you, in the good season, because of the blessing, it can make you do the same thing. You know what I've seen? I've seen people get so distracted by the blessing that they forgot where the blessing came from. They get so caught up in the great times of life that they forgot where the prosperity came from. The things that they begin to do in their life that brought that blessing. If I can tell you this, no matter season, what season, hard season, blessed season that you're in, can I just ask you to do this? Be godly and be committed to the Word of God. In a hard season, I'm going to be godly and I'm going to be committed to the Word of God. Can I get an amen out there? In a hard season, I'm going to be godly and I'm going to be committed to the Word of God. In a hard season, I'm going to be godly and I'm going to be committed to the Word of God. No matter what it is, I'm going to be committed to the Word of God. Habakkuk 3:17 says this, though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, though the labor of the olive may fail, and the fields yield no food, though the flock may be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. That's learning how to be content in all things. No matter what's happening, no matter if you haven't seen the healing yet or not, no matter if you haven't seen the financial breakthrough that you believe in God for, I will rejoice in the Lord and I will have joy in the God of my salvation. I tell you, the greatest miracle that's happened in your life, it may have been, you thought it was a healing, but it is a healing. It's that God has saved you and pulled you out of the miry clay, and He set you on a rock to stand to ward against the enemy. Come on, can I get an amen this morning? Here's the last thing is this. Choose faith for your future. Choose faith for your future. I'm talking about joy this morning. Choose to be a believer. Make the choice right now. If you want joy to come in your life, no matter what's going on, in any situation or whatever it is, you need to make the choice right now. I'm going to choose faith for my future. Me as a dad, me as a boss, me as a business owner, me as an employee, whatever it is, I'm going to choose faith for my future. Ephesians 3:20 says this, amplified. Now to him who is able to carry out his purpose and to do super abundantly more than all that we dare or ask or think, infinitely beyond our greatest prayers, hopes, or dreams, according to His power that is at work within us. Listen to the Passion Translation, Ephesians 3:20. Never doubt God's mighty power to work in you and accomplish all this. He will achieve infinitely more than your greatest request, your more unbelievable dream, and exceed your wildest imagination. He will outdo them all, for his miraculous power constantly energizes you. The joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy of the Lord is your strength. If I've learned anything, I've seen the sheep from the goats in 2020. I truly have. And I'm going to be quite honest with you right now. You're going to see all across America, I've said this before, but there is lampstands that are burning out all across America. There is big voices that may have spoke to you on TBN. I promise you, for them being so fear-led, you watch, they'll dry up. They'll dry up. And one of the things that I saw from believers, whether they believed God or they were believers for 15 years or 15 minutes, there was people out there that did not believe this text. Never doubt God's mighty work, power to work in you and accomplish all his will. From here on out, hey, if God's true, if the word of God is true, he's still the healer. If the word of God is true, he's still the provider. If the word of God's true, he's still the strong tower. If the word of God's true, he's still our refuge in time of need. If the word of God is true, I'm telling you, he's coming back for the church of the living God. If the word of God is still true, I'm telling you, how many of y'all believe it's still true out there? If you're going to have joy in your life, you need to grab a hold of that. That the word of God is still true. You may have difficulties. You may have shortcomings. You may have times of difficulty. You may have times where you don't see your way out. If God be for you, then who in the world can be against you? I'm here to remind somebody this morning on a snowy morning with 100 people in here. I'm here to remind you that even in the midst of what all's going on and everything that's happening around us, I'm here to remind you, you can still have joy. Come on, look at your neighbor and say, you can still have joy. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. The joy of the Lord is your strength. And there's one last thing that I want to tell you this morning from Ephesians 3:20. And I believe, as I wrote this down, I believe this is for somebody. If you're not thinking, hoping, believing, and asking God for greater things, you're cheating yourself. You know what I found? I found ourselves, and I see it in lots of people in ministry in lots of places, that during COVID-19, the pandemic, and all of that, there's lots of people that just got comfortable. I mean, truly, I talked about it last week. There's people that enjoy underwear church over them being right here in the house of God. Now, I understand there's people that can't drive in this stuff. I understand that kind of thing. But there's people we haven't seen since March, all because of fear. I reminded myself last night as I wrote this down, I'm going to tell the people of God this, and this is for myself. If you're not thinking, hoping, believing, and asking God for greater things, you're cheating yourself. If you're not thinking, hoping, come on, let's stand to our feet. If you're not thinking, hoping, believing, and asking God for greater things, you're cheating yourself. Never doubt God's mighty power at work in you and accomplish all this. Never doubt it. Never doubt it. Never doubt it. Even in the midst of an economy that seems to be, that crashed. Can I tell you this? If you're thinking, hoping, believing, and asking God for greater things, if you're not doing those things, you're cheating yourself. I believe that you can still believe for those things. How many of y'all believe that? How many of y'all believe that? If you're not thinking, if you're not asking, if you're not going towards that, I'm here to tell you this morning, you are cheating yourself. You're cheating your family. Let's believe God for more. Let's believe God for more. Who's with me this morning? Let's believe God for more. Let's believe God for more. And you know what? Let's believe for joy in the midst of hardship. Let's believe for joy. It's your choice. It's your choice. It's a byproduct of the choices that you make every single day. I'm going to make the decision when I wake up in the morning. I'm going to be on the third floor, and I'm going to stay on the third floor. No matter if I blow out a tire, no matter if somebody says something that I don't like on Facebook, those outward things are not going to determine that Jesus came to this earth and gave us the greatest gift of himself and his life so that there could be joy to all people. Your grouchy neighbor, I believe, can have joy. He might be calling you the grouchy neighbor. You need to have joy. Joy. I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Down in my heart, down in my heart. I'm going to guard my heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. Amen? Amen. Amen. God, I just thank you for this time together this morning. I thank you, Lord, that the joy of the Lord is our strength. I pray for joy unspeakable and full of glory. I pray for these that are in this room right now. I pray that joy overcomes them. Joy gets in their midst. That joy gets inside of their spirit during this Christmas holiday, during this Christmas season. May they be reminded that you are the gift. You're the greatest gift. And because of you, we can walk in joy, even in the midst of sorrow, even in the midst of pain, even in the midst of hurt. God, you bring us joy. You bring us joy. Your joy is here. Lord, we pull on it. We grab on it. In Jesus' mighty name. If you're out there this morning, you say, Pastor, I don't know Jesus. I've never asked Jesus to be the Lord of my life. You say, you know what? I'm away from the Lord. I need to ask him to come live on the inside of me. Your joy has been stolen. You can honestly say you've been living in fear. You've been living in sorrow. You've been living in defeat. I want to remind you this morning. The Bible says, he who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The Bible tells us if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in our heart that he died on the cross and on the third day rose again, he'd come live on the inside of you. So if you're out there and you say, Pastor, you know what? That's me. I'm away from God. Today I want to come back to the land of the living. You're away from the Lord, but doesn't matter what you've done, no matter what you've said, the Bible says he'll forgive you as far as the east is from the west. If you haven't prayed that prayer of salvation, I'm going to invite you to do that today with every head bowed and with every eye closed. You say, Pastor, that's me. I need to pray that prayer. I'm away from the Lord. I need to come back to him. Or you never prayed it before. I'm going to encourage you to pray it today. If that's you, pray this with me. Say, Jesus, I believe you died on the cross. You were buried, but on the third day, you rose again. Come live in my heart, Jesus. Make me new, set me free. From this day forward, I'll serve you all the days of my life. Live in my heart, Jesus. You're welcome. In Jesus' name, amen. If that's you today, you prayed that prayer, just lift your hand. I believe everybody, praise God, I believe everybody here is saved. Thank you, Jesus. How many of y'all thankful? Thankful for Jesus this morning. Amen. 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 Praise God. Well, I want to remind each and every one of you, it's Christmas. It's Christmas. Amen. I also want to remind you, you keep fighting the good fight of faith. Amen. Let's keep fighting. Let's keep pushing. As Americans, of what's going on. You have the opportunity today, if you'd like to give online, you can do so. You can give by going to our website, arenaoflifechurch.org. But you can also, too, you can do that by text message. And in front of you, you have an envelope that you can fill that out. We believe that this is good ground and a great ministry to be a part of. Amen? You didn't come this morning if you didn't believe that. Praise the Lord. And so we want to encourage you. I believe God gives seed to the sower. He will supply all your needs according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I will say to the Lord that he will be your refuge and your fortress. In him you will put your trust. And I'm here to tell you, I can lift my hand and say, God has provided all through 2020 for me. How many of y'all can raise your hand and say, God has provided all through 2020 for me? Praise the Lord. God, we pray for this offering. We pray right now in Jesus' name. I speak multiplication to it, God. I pray that you rebuke the devourer for their sake. Lord, as we go here from here, I pray that you keep your angels charge over them. Keep them in all your ways that no evil befalls them. No weapon formed against them shall prosper. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May his face shine upon you, be gracious to you, give you peace. Go in the name of the Lord today.
Thank you for joining us today. You can stay connected with us through our website, arenaoflifechurch.org, or follow us on Instagram or Facebook. God bless you and keep you.